Amen. Let's open our Bibles together this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we have Bibles in the back if you need one. And I just want to encourage you guys for being such great listeners during this time together. You guys are awesome at that. And I just want to encourage you in that and recognize that you guys have been really good listeners to our time every Wednesday, every Sunday in God's Word. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that, to keep listening closely, keep taking notes, keep asking questions, keep bringing questions to small group. And I just want to encourage that. You guys have been great listeners. So this morning, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 in God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you've ever gone out of town or if you've ever gone on a road trip before, you know that I'll never forget being on a road trip when I was probably in elementary school, and we were driving. This was far away. It was with a group of people from our church. We were driving down the road, and I think we were like 12 hours from home in the middle of the night on our road trip. It was dark out. I think most of us were asleep, except the driver, thankfully. And all of a sudden, we heard this really loud bang on the front of the car. And we had slammed into a deer. I know, it's a sad story. It's a sad story. Has anyone else ever hit a deer before? You guys know? Yeah, it's a thing that can happen. Thankfully, everyone was okay. Everyone was okay in the van. The deer was not okay, though, sadly, and neither was our van. But that is just one example of something that can happen when you're away from home on a road trip. And not all things have to be that crazy when you think about things that are unexpected or unwanted. Maybe it could be you're far away from home and your family gets a flat tire while you're out on the road, and you have to pull over and change it, and it takes an extra few hours, not what you wanted to happen. Or maybe it's where you've been on a road trip and you start driving up the 5 and then you realize that the road's closed and you have to like turn around and go all the way a different direction. Or maybe you're on the road and one of your siblings gets sick because they ate way too many Sour Patch Kids and your mom says, we have to turn around and go home. Unexpected things can happen, and even things we don't want to happen when we're on a road trip. We know that sometimes unexpected, unwanted things can happen when we're far away. And I think that's kind of what the Bible makes me think of here in these verses. Christians, 1 Peter is teaching us, are like travelers in this road. We're far away from our home and from where we belong because we've been saved by Jesus. We're not part of this world anymore, so we're far from where we really belong. And we saw that even at the very opening of this letter in 1 Peter 1:1, it says that you are an exile. You don't really belong or fit in here in this world. You're a temporary visitor now who's a stranger and a foreigner here. You're away from home. Now, Peter wants us to think about how we should live here in this world if you are a Christian, if you're far away from home. God has a lot to say about that. Even when there's some things that happen that might be unexpected for your life as a Christian, or some things that might be unwanted, some things that happen, some circumstances that aren't what you planned for. God has a ton of instruction for you as a Christian to know how to live in this world, even when things don't feel like they're quite going your way as a Christian. And there are some things that if you've turned to Jesus that will feel unwanted in your life, unexpected even, as you live in this world. It's possible this in this life that you might be treated like in this world, maybe it's on a team or at school, because you're a Christian, because you're involved in the things of Jesus and you're not involved in sinful things, that you're thought of as weird. You're thought of as somebody who's not like the rest of us. It's possible that the now or in the future, there's going to be some unkind things that might be said about you because you're committed to Jesus. People might treat you differently at a job, or some people in your family might treat you differently because you believe in Jesus. You might really start to stand out as being different from this world, somebody who doesn't belong here, who's not at home here. And God wants us to know how to live in those times when those unexpected, maybe even unwanted things happen in our life. And this book, 1 Peter, tells you as a Christian, somebody that God has loved, that he saved, how God wants you to live here in this life that he's given you as someone who is traveling through, somebody who doesn't belong. Especially in those times when we run into unexpected or even maybe discouraging things where you might be treated differently or treated badly or thought of as weird or even just facing something unfair, unkind because you are a Christian. God doesn't want us to be surprised by that, and we'll see that even in chapter 4. But even here in chapter 3 this morning, I want us to see some encouragements that God gives you if you are a Christian to know how to live in this world that's not your home. God gives us some encouragements. And here's a big idea to see this morning, that God tells me how to live in this world when I'm treated unfairly for being a Christian. God tells me how to live in this world when I'm treated unfairly for being a Christian. God has encouraging words here, and he tells us how to live in this world when we're being mistreated. Times when things happen that we don't want to happen, but God says you should be ready for. How can we be ready for those difficult, unexpected, unwanted times in our life as Christians? How can we be prepared? How can we be living in this world now when we're far away from our home with Jesus in heaven one day? Here are some important encouragements, some helps for us. And they're actions that if we listen to will honor God, and they will be for your own good. They will be for the good of your life. If you follow these things as a Christian, it's going to only fill your life with joy and peace and strength as a Christian, even if things don't feel so great on the outside. You can still have joy in your heart on the inside. These are things that if you listen to them will lead to blessing. That's what this chapter has been all about. But first, let's read from 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning. It says in verse 13, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison who were once disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and thank you for these verses in your word. We thank you that they help us know how we should live here in this world as Christians, and they're encouraging and they're helpful for us. So we pray that you would even help us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So these verses are here to help us know how to live in this world. If you're a Christian, as somebody who doesn't belong here, you're far away from home. And we're going to face some difficult times that we might not want if we're Christians. We might be treated differently, unfairly. But God gives us here some encouragements for how you should live if that's you. And the first encouragement God gives is, number one, that Christians must be all about what is good. Be all about what is good. We'll jump around here just a little bit as we see what's here, but we need to see this, especially in verse 13 and 14, and then you can see it in verse 16. God's teaching us here that if you're saved by Jesus, then you should be zealous. That means to be intensely focused on, devoted to, zealous for what is good. You can see that in verse 13, that we should prove zealous for righteousness. That's what a Christian needs to be all about if you're here in this world. You need to be somebody who's concerned about, who's zealous for goodness and righteousness. And I think that word zeal, zealous, it's kind of a funny word. It's a word we don't use. I'm guessing that you don't use. But I like to think about it like somebody who's just all about that, who's really consumed and focused on one thing. And I'm sure that you know examples of somebody who's zealous for things, even if you don't know it. You might have had a friend growing up who was really zealous or who was all about Legos. Maybe you still have that friend. He's like the Lego friend. He loves all things Legos. He has tons of Legos. He knows every kind of new Lego set that comes out. He is passionate about Legos. He's excited to talk about Legos. That's zeal. Somebody who's all about one thing, who loves that one thing. And he's saying here to us, God's word says that if you're a believer in Jesus, you should be all about good things and righteous things. We know that Christians have been saved from our sins. We've been rescued from God's judgment through what Jesus did, not through our works. But now that God's done that in your life, if you've placed your faith in Christ, then that should change how you're living here in this world. And it should be that you're no longer about sinful things, but you're consumed with things that are good. There's a verse in Romans that says we should hate what is evil and cling to what is good. I like that. I like that verse, that we should be caring about what is good, what's right and what's lovely and what's pleasing to God and what's true and what's pure. We should be seeking to live in a way that's like Jesus, that's good, that's kind, that's humble, that is loving to others, that's righteous. God wants to save you, not just to bring you to heaven one day as a Christian. He wants to save you to fill your life with a new desire and new love for what is good, and to fill your life with blessing because you care, because you're filled with good. Verse 16 says more of that same thing too. It says Christians should keep a good conscience, so that when people speak bad about you, they will be ashamed because of your good behavior. God wants us always to keep a good conscience, that voice inside of us that tells us when you're doing something wrong or when you're doing something that's right. We should be listening to that voice, to be listening to what God wants us to do. And when we're not doing it as Christians, we should be confessing that and repenting of sin and putting on what is right. This is how God wants you to live in this world, even when you're going to face some unexpected, even difficult things if you're a Christian, to be all about what is good. Why is that? Why should we care about what's good as Christians? Well, we know this is what honors God. It's what honors God who saved us. He didn't save us so that you could go back to your sin. He saved you so that you could have a life that honors him, that's filled with obedience and holiness and good things. He saved you to be all about what is good. And this is also what's going to bring joy and peace and strength and blessing in your life as a Christian. We know that sin brings sadness and sorrow, but living for what is good is going to bring blessing. If you've become a Christian, if you've been forgiven, if that's you, if you're somebody who's saved by Jesus, I would ask you this even this morning, like, what's something that you can do this week? Maybe what's even one thing that you can do to be all about what is good in this world? It might just be putting on patience or unselfishness around your siblings. It might be being kind to somebody who doesn't return kindness to you. It might be honoring your parents, or even just thinking of a different way that you can help out around your house. It might be repenting of some sin and confessing that to the Lord. This is what God wants you to be focused on as you live here in this world, as a stranger in this world. And it's a way that brings blessing. God wants us to be all about what is good. But even more, we see here that Christians must also, number two, be ready to tell others about your hope. Be ready to tell other people about your hope that you have in Jesus. We see this in verse 15 after he talks about sanctifying Christ as Lord. He says, "Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you." Always be ready to tell the world about what you have with Jesus, the hope that fills your life because Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. I wonder what you're always ready for. You know, some of you guys like might be always ready for ice cream. Like you're like, if you gave me ice cream right now, I'd be ready for it. I'd have ice cream even though it's 9 a.m. I don't know what you're ready for. Maybe it's Gaga Ball. If we got Gaga Ball out right now, if we set it up, you'd be like, I'd play Gaga Ball. I'm always ready for Gaga Ball. Well, God is saying if you're a Christian, you should always be ready to talk about what Jesus did in your life and who he is. Christians should always be prepared and ready to go to tell the world about Jesus. And that makes sense here because if you're a Christian and you're living for what is good and honoring the Lord, then that's going to stand out to people who don't know Jesus. If you're living in a way that's righteous, that's going to stand out to unbelievers. It might make them wonder, why is he so different? Why is she so joyful all the time, even when things don't seem so great? But at what we laugh at, why is he so kind to other people? What does he have that I don't have? If you're a Christian, you have opportunity, the Lord says, and there will be times when you can tell other people about the hope of Jesus, what he did in your life, how he changed you and made you a new person, and how you need to do that with gentleness and reverence, with respect. Now, doing that as a Christian is going to involve a few things. First of all, it's going to involve knowing what you believe better. That means you need to know your Bible well. You need to know what it says about the gospel really well. You need to start to understand better what is true and what's not true, so that you can tell the world about your Savior. You need to make sure that you're in God's word and really getting to know what he wants you to know for your life. And make sure especially that you know about the hope of Jesus clearly. I would encourage that to you, even if you've been around the church for a long time and you've been a Christian since you were a little kid and you know all the Bible answers. I want to encourage you to get to know the Bible better. Get to know Jesus better. Get to know what it says in his word about the gospel better, even now, so that you can tell other people about your Savior. But it also means not just knowing what you believe, but also means remembering what you believe. Because it can be easy to forget what Jesus did in your life sometimes. You need to remember, if you're a Christian, your sins have been forgiven by Jesus totally. You've been saved from God's judgment totally. And instead of that, you have heaven forever someday, and you have even in this life peace and joy. You have other Christians in your life. You have the church. You have a spiritual gift to serve the Lord. You have a life that's been filled with hope because Jesus has saved you. So we should be ready to tell other people about that hope. Be ready in a gentle and a kind way to tell other people about Jesus who saved you from your sins. This is a way that brings blessing, and this is how God wants us to live in this world as we're strangers and as we don't belong here. We've seen here that we should be all about what is good. We should be ready to tell other people about your hope in Jesus. But last, we should see that Christians should be focused on Jesus. We should be focused on Jesus. We see this throughout these verses, but we can start by seeing in verse 14. He says, "Do not be afraid, don't be fearful of this world and the people that might treat you unfairly as a Christian. You don't need to be afraid." But verse 15, it says, "Honor Christ the Lord as holy in your heart." I think that's just a way of saying to you as a Christian, focus on Jesus. Honor Jesus. One version of the Bible says, simply concentrating on being completely devoted to Jesus in your heart. There's so many things that can distract us in this world, even things that might make us afraid or wonder who's in control, but that's not going to be an issue if your eyes are focused on Jesus, if you're completely devoted to what he wants for your life, if you're completely devoted to him. We need to focus on and remember and concentrate on Jesus. This is how we should live as strangers in this world. I think of it as Christians sort of being like just a magnet to Jesus. We can't ever get very far away from Jesus. We just want to cling to Jesus. We're attached to him like a magnet. We don't want to be pulled away from Jesus. He is the one we're focused on. And that's what we read about all throughout the end of this chapter in chapter 3, from verse 18 to verse 22, it's all just a reminder about having your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is somebody we read there who knows what it's like to live in this world. We look to him as somebody who knows what it's like to live here and to go through difficult things, even things way more difficult than we'll ever go through. There's so much here through verse 22, but I especially want us to look at verse 18. Verse 18, it says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God." That's a verse I think you can highlight and underline and circle and highlight again. the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. We know that Jesus is an example of how to live in this world, but as Christians, we know he's more than an example. He is our Lord and our Savior, and we can look to him as our Savior. If you're a Christian, this verse is talking about you. You're somebody who's been brought to God, who has a right relationship with God now because of Jesus. You're somebody whose sins have been forgiven because Jesus, who is perfectly righteous, took your place on the cross and died for you. We read there even more at the end that of these verses in verse 20 about Noah and how his family was saved from God's judgment by him building an ark. Noah was saved from God's judgment because he had the ark to be saved. If you're a Christian, you have Jesus to save you from God's judgment. There's only one way to be saved, and it's through Christ, who died for you, the just, the righteous one for unrighteous people. And if we're going to live well here in this world, if we're going to live with blessing and joy and peace and strength in your life as a Christian, you need to have your eyes focused on that truth, on who Jesus is and on what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's not just something that you believe in when you first become a Christian and then you're just going to like kind of leave. Through his work on the cross is something that's supposed to be our focus every day of our life, every day until we reach home in heaven. God wants you to be focused on Jesus. Let me just say this too. This morning you might be here and you know you don't have any of that hope in this world. You know you don't have Jesus. You don't have eternal life. You don't have forgiveness of your sins. You're still far away from God. You're somebody whose life isn't filled with what's good. It's filled with what's sinful. You might know that you're somebody who doesn't have that hope within you at all. You need to know that you can have a relationship that's made right with God. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have your conscience made totally clean. And you can have a place with God in heaven forever that fills your life with hope. How can that be possible? Well, it's not through trusting in anything that you do. It's through believing in Jesus. It's by believing in Christ who died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. If your focus is turned to Jesus, if you come and believe in him, you can be one of those people that verse 18 talks about, somebody who has been brought to God because Jesus has forgiven your sins. This is what Christians need to be focused on as we live here in this world, as we're far away from home, as even difficult things or things we might not want or things that are unexpected, the way we're treated, the way people think about us, difficult times that might come up, God gives us encouragement to know how to live, and that's to be focused on what is good, to be ready to tell other people about your hope, and to have your eyes fixed on Jesus. This is how God wants us to be traveling here in this world when we're far from home. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these verses that remind us about the gospel, that remind us about how we can have hope that lasts forever in heaven. No matter what happens in this world, Lord, if we are in Christ, if we're saved by you through faith, we know that we can have joy and hope and strength and peace. Our lives can be blessed and filled with good things. And we thank you for that, Lord. I pray that these students would know students who don't know you, that they would come to believe. I pray that for those students that do know you this morning, that you would help them to be focused on you, to be concerned and consumed with what is good, and to be ready to tell other people about the hope they have in Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.